Welcome to the podcast. A little late getting up today. Terrible snowstorm where we're at right now. So, plus, terrible technical problems, so I'm not going to bore you with all the details. Just going to finish getting set up here. All right, thanks for joining me today. It is Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. Welcome to the podcast. So we're going to get into the headlines in just a minute. So Biden is still against the ropes as the Democrats seem to consider throwing him under the bus as legal issues and concerned about his mental acuity mount. Here's what I think will happen. The Democrats will let Biden and help Biden be removed via impeachment. Kamala Harris serves as the first woman president for 6 months on the condition she won't seek the 2024 nomination. And enter Gavin or Michelle or both. Also in the news today, Lakewood mega church shooter. There's more evidence. This person was insane, and they continually tried to bury her gender confusion. Also, I'll be talking about the Senate war bill that goes to the House. Will the GOP have the spine to reject war funding, especially without border concessions? So I'll be talking about these stories and more. Don't forget to engage the channel, like, subscribe, share the podcast. Let's get into the headlines. I can't seem to get that transition right. All right, we're going to start with the Daily Mail. This week, Biden lost the New York Times, liberal paper's editorial board, unleashing astonishing broadside warning of a dark moment as it runs back-to-back opinion pieces, knifing the elderly president after a damning special counsel report. If you joined me yesterday, I went over the New York Times damning opinion pieces, one by Maureen Dowd and the other by Ross Douthat, which basically showed that the editorial board, I'm sure the news will follow soon enough, the news department, that they're ditching Biden because it's plain to see that Biden does not have the mental acuity to carry on as president, particularly. This is about his reelection bid, not so much as him serving as president, but being reelected in 2024. Not only is it bad, would be bad for Democrats if he didn't get elected, but if he did get elected, it would be bad for the country. Moving on to other headlines here from the New York Post. Hillary Clinton calls Joe Biden's age a legitimate issue. The Wall Street Journal, probably many people have seen this headline. Kamala Harris said she is ready to serve as Biden to serve as Biden faces age scrutiny. In recent interview, the vice president cites her capacity to lead after stops on her abortion rights tour. Kamala Harris can't lead a parade. She can't lead. She can't lead the country. She doesn't have the mental capacity to lead the country. She doesn't have the emotional wherewithal. She doesn't have intellectual insight. She doesn't have any of the things that a leader needs to lead the most powerful country in the world. So she's not really ready to lead, although she says so. But this is opening up for what from my perspective, what I see happening is people will warm to the fact of her being allowed. And to be honest, that Biden doesn't lead the country. Kamala Harris, if she becomes president, wouldn't really be leading the country. So she would just be a figurehead, as Joe Biden is. So that's not really the concern, that the Democrats, Obama behind the scene, is leading the country. So she wouldn't be leading the country, but that is the plan from my perspective, is that they'll allow Biden to be removed, try to blame it on Republicans, but, you know, as ageism, but they'll allow some Democrats to go on board because of his mental problems, his memory lapses, whatever. Biden will be removed. And then Kamala Harris will serve as the first black woman president for 6 months. She won't really be holding the reins, but you know what I mean. And then they'll get somebody in the convention, and then they'll have a different ticket to run for 2024. So moving on in the news, James Carville, if you didn't know him, he was the Louisiana liberal political guru, said the significance of Biden not doing the Super Bowl interview, that's a sign your staff doesn't have much confidence in you. And I would have to agree that the staff never really had confidence in Joe Biden anyway, because they don't have him go upstairs. They have to constantly prevent him from falling. They have to cut his interviews short. And he was almost free and clear from the interview after the DOJ special counsel report came out. But he took a question, as he often does on the way out, and walks it back to the podium. And even Jon Stewart made a joke last night. Oh, no, don't do that, says the presidential aides. Moving on, ABC News, Biden campaign joins TikTok despite administration's past security concerns. And then it has in quote, LOL, hey guys, advisors maintain they're taking advanced precautions. There's a typo there. They are taking. I don't know exactly what that means there, taking. That's kind of funny. But let's just move on to other headlines. If you saw the TikTok ad, it was like, maybe that's what they were meant by taking, because they took so many takes. If you looked at the Super Bowl ad or the TikTok ad, there were so many takes, and it was so edited in such a way that it made him look cogent when he really wasn't, you know, they just had to do it like 100 times. It was kind of funny. Biden, from CNN World, Biden makes TikTok debut amid national security concerns. And then we're moving to the next story. Female shooter Janessa Marino at Joel Osteen's megachurch is schizophrenic Munchausen by proxy, who legally purchased AR-15 despite being known to cops for mental illness. I don't really understand her buying a gun. Should she have been able to buy a gun? No, but apparently insane people are allowed to buy weapons. I'm not for that necessarily. But I was going to have the other Daily Mail headline here, because they what they do here is they put that she was able to buy a gun, of course, liberals will always let insane people buy guns, and then they go on a shooting spree or whatever, and they go, see, you shouldn't be able to buy guns. I'll just read from the Daily Mail story. Gun woman Janessa Yvonne Marino, 36, had a lengthy criminal record going back to 2005. Doesn't matter if she was insane. She had a criminal record, including charges of assault, weapons, marijuana possession, and forgery. She also, she wasn't convicted of these things. She also had the history of mental illness and was held in an emergency detention order in 2016. They also revealed that they found anti-Semitic writings that had nothing to do with the story. We do believe that there was a familial dispute that had taken place between her and her ex-husband. And her ex-husband's family, some of whom are Jewish, Marino used several identities under both genders, and it's unclear what gender she identified as. However, police said on Monday she is believed to be the biological mother of the 7-year-old she brought to the church with her as a human shield. Doesn't matter whatever happened here. She wasn't convicted on any of her prior charges, because if she was, some of those are felonies. She shouldn't have been able to purchase a gun. Also, she had a mental illness, so she's a crazy person who's a criminal that obviously had gender confusion, gender dysphoria issues that went in. And all these people are allowed to get, or who knows, like I always say, people with mental illness are preyed upon online. You don't know who she was connected with online who might have urged her to take part in this criminal activity. You know, they always say, oh, she said she heard voices in her head that might have been coming over the computer. KHOU 11, this is a television station from Houston, which actually broke most of the news that we knew. Here's what investigators were looking for at Lakewood Church shooter's Conroe home. Again, they're going back to that she bought a weapon. This is not the point. The point is that what originally was posted by this television station, Marino had used multiple aliases, including Jeffrey Escalante, according to Texas Department of Public Safety records search. Houston Police Department say they haven't found any evidence that she identified as anything but female, even though she used male aliases. Isn't that evidence? They haven't found any evidence that she identified as anything but female, except for maybe her male alias. So ridiculous. In other pressing news, the BBC is reporting U.S. Senate passes a $95 billion package of aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. That's almost $1 billion. And the story goes on to say lawmakers voted 70-29 to approve the package. In the end, 22 Republicans joined Democrats. So it's a Democrat bill to vote for the legislation, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Of course, he voted for the bill. I mean, he was the one drafting the bill, as was my Senator Chris Murphy, because they get kickbacks from their military-industrial complex pals who contribute to their campaigns. Not surprising at all. So CNN Politics reports Senate passes a $95 billion package with aid for Ukraine, Israel, setting up a showdown with the House. In a statement on Monday, Johnson criticized the foreign aid bill over its lack of provisions, saying the Senate should have gone back to the drawing board to amend the current bill to include border security provisions that would actually help end the ongoing catastrophe. Johnson had previously opposed the border bill that did include border provisions. It really didn't. it basically codified the illegal immigration. For any of you who read the bill, the speaker has characterized those provisions as insufficient indeed, despite the fact that they were the product of bipartisan negotiations, including restrictive border measures. Not really. It didn't at all. Not to the liking of people, the representatives in the House, obviously, and the MAGA contingent. As Donald Trump said, it legalizes illegal border crossing. More headlines in the news from Bloomberg. Waning McConnell is last GOP bulwark against Trump isolationism. The veteran Republican leader has become the last serious bulwark within the party against Trump's populists' animosity towards U.S. international commitments, especially when you're spending billions, hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars on a war that nobody wants. Even as it increasingly frails, McConnell's influence has waned sharply in last year because nobody likes the neocons. Nobody likes the rhinos, which are problematic to a populist agenda, which is what most people want, to be honest with you. Most people are wanting just a populist agenda, America first. That was the whole point of MAGA. That's the point of America first. And the populists, God forbid, the populists or the nationalists against the internationalists is what we're talking about. Moving on to other news, NBC News. Trump seeks Supreme Court intervention in election subversion case. Former President Donald Trump is turning to the justices in the last-ditch effort to prevent his prosecution in the federal election interference case from moving closer to trial. Well, because he has immunity, and the Supreme Court will rule that he has immunity because he's not convicted on anything, and there's no evidence to say that he was interfering in any of the... Oops. I hope I don't lose my mic here. I think it might be going in just a second, so you're going to have to bear with me if it does. NBC News said... So just bear with me for a second here while I get things... underway. So president's lawyer said the court should block the ruling for to forestall once again an unprecedented and unacceptable departure from ordinary appellate procedures that allow President Trump's claim of immunity to be cited in the ordinary course of justice, Trump's lawyer wrote in the filing. All right, stick with me for a second, please. Thank you. Yeah, I should have muted that mic. All right, bear with me. All right, thanks. Moving on to other news. ABC News judge in Trump election case moves forward with misconduct hearing, saying DA's disqualification possible in evidence. If evidence warrants, the judge seemed inclined to permit testimony from at least some witnesses. Now, this is about Fannie Willis and her boyfriend, who, if it's determined, some witnesses they mean, there are some witnesses that say that Fannie Willis and this man, who she later hired for and then paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars, had a personal relationship before they said they did, which means that they said they were involved after she hired him, they got involved, but there's evidence to suggest that they were a couple beforehand and that she hired her boyfriend basically and paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is an ethics violation. Moving on to other news. Chicago Tribune, a horrible perfect storm. Frustrations rise as shortage of Adderall and other ADHD medication continues. Excuse me. So, the issue with this article is that in the whole Chicago Tribune story, they don't mention the supply chain. See, China makes most of our pharmaceuticals, manufacturers. You know, all the research and development is done in Western countries, but it's all manufactured abroad in China. For the most part, the pharmaceutical industry loves China, among other big corporate conglomerates. Through the whole article, they talk about supply chain issues and COVID-19 or whatever, but they don't talk about that the majority of pharmaceuticals are produced, manufactured in China, and the reason we have a shortfall of pharmaceuticals, and I don't Adderall and ADHD medication, antidepressants, I don't promote, and I actually would advise anybody not to take pharmaceuticals. Not only that, they're manufactured in China, so China has the wherewithal to slow down production, just like as Saudi Arabia can slow down production of oil to affect the United States in the way it sees fit. So this may or may not have anything to do with trying to strong arm the United States, trying to lower tariffs concerning manufactured goods in China. Associated Press reports Nicaragua's crackdown on Catholic Church spreads fear among the faithful. They're in an exile. They don't talk about communism there. If you didn't know, the Sandinistas have held power in Nicaragua for decades. And Daniel Ortega, let's see, nope, in the lead and in the first couple of paragraphs, they don't talk at all about communism. 19 priests kicked out of the country, dozens of incidents of harassment and church desecrations, rural areas lacking worship and social services, the situation for Catholic clergy, and faithful in Nicaragua is worsening in 2024, according to exiled priests, lay people in Central American country, and human rights activists. The fear of the ongoing crackdown by President Daniel Ortega on the Catholic Church, and particularly, but not sparing, evangelicals, has become so pervasive that it is silencing criticism of the authoritarian government and even mentions of expressions from the pulpit. Sandinistas are communists. Communist crackdown on religious expression. Come on now. When have you ever heard of that? That's ridiculous. Moving on to some of the news, Hollywood Reporter, billionaire survivalist bunkers go absolutely bonkers with fire remotes and water cannons. Amid World War III fears, apocalypse-fearing moguls are investing millions in survival strategies, including rotating fireplaces out of Indiana Jones and heightened tactical systems. But for preppers who are mocked for years and years and years about the black helicopter conspiracies, now people aren't mocking. Now they're called survivalists, not preppers. Not surprising. AP, a number of Americans can't afford their rent. Lawmakers are scrambling to help. People are financially strapped. Bidenomics is a disaster. The fact is, increasing the money you supply lowers the purchasing power and the value of your dollar. And inflation has risen to such a degree that people have a hard time not only paying the rent, but buying groceries or having to decide for one or the other. Wall Street Journal reports U.S.-China relations have a new front, a naval base in Africa. It's not a new front. They've been ongoing diplomatic skirmishes between the two countries, between the two superpowers, because China is following the West by going around the world and offering financial support to indebted countries. When they accept the financial support, then China says, well, there's one condition. You have to allow us to put a military base or structural adjustments, which means take over infrastructure. American officials urged leaders in Gabon and Equatorial Guinea to reject Beijing's overtures for military presence on their Atlantic coastline. If you didn't know, these countries were in East Africa. In August, Ali Bongo, then president of the Central African Nation of Gabon, made a startling revelation to the White House. In a meeting with Xi Jinping, he said Beijing could station military forces on Gabon's Atlantic Ocean coast. I thought it was a Central African nation. And it's West Africa on the Atlantic. Central African or West Africa. Into some text news, the San Francisco Standard reports Waymo robo-taxi goes up in flames in Chinatown after crowd attacks vehicle. This is starting of the rebellion against technology. It's going to increase over time. This isn't the first incident you're going to see like this. Because, as the Wall Street Journal reports, AI is starting to threaten white-collar jobs. It already has. Even before its debut, it was in line to threaten white-collar jobs. Even when I was still in journalism, they had AI writing reports. Leaders say the fast-evolving technology means many jobs might never return. Really, that's the whole point of AI, is to displace human workers. Also from Business Insider, beware the Apple Vision Pro may rewire our brains in unexpected ways. Researchers have found that the widespread long-term immersion in VR headsets could literally change the way we perceive the world and each other. We now have companies who are advocating that you spend many hours each day in them. You got many, many people and they're wearing it for many, many hours and everything magnifies at scale. So that's what they're trying to rewire your brains with technology. Either physically, like Elon Musk's Neuralink, or just with the devices themselves and the immersion in technology is going to rewire your brain so much so that you'll just assume have it physically rewired. I hope that, trying to keep it to half an hour, so I hope that wasn't too long. Thanks for joining me today. Don't forget to like and subscribe, or don't like. Engage the channel. Leave a comment. Stay tuned. I haven't talked to Perry today, but we're going to try to get an episode of Tuesdays with Perry up tonight. So stay tuned for that. And I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining me today. See you tomorrow.
Google me, bitch! Google me!
This is a conspiracy.
The New World Order.
You're the big man, I think. You're the big man, I think.